Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Hallelujah. God is good and His mercy endures forever. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Let me start this way. You know, we have different expressions for baskets and advice. We receive different advices with baskets. And that's why I'm seeing a basket here today. You know, one of the advices that we get is that don't put all your eggs in one basket. We get this advice from people because they feel that if the basket falls down, all your eggs will be broken. And with a natural basket, that is true. That is true. And now one says that you don't pour water, you don't fetch water with a basket because the water will just waste away. I'm going to do an example of that. I think you did that at home. Now, this basket is a basket that has little holes. And this basket is a basket that has big holes. Can I call Sap to come and help me out here? Hallelujah. Praise God. This basket has big holes. It's a natural basket. It's a natural basket. So it's a natural basket. So we're going to pour water into it. And you see what's going to happen to it. Wow, this is water. Am I correct? And we pour water into it. Wow, there's no water in the basket. Because it's a natural basket. Okay, let's try with this one too. Wow, it's pouring away. Because it's a natural basket. But I want to tell you something today. I want to tell you something very, 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 very that you should never forget today. Natural baskets can fail you, but the Word of God will never fail you. The Word of God will never fail you. The Word of God is the sole supreme authority. The Word of God will never fail you. You can put all your eggs in the Word of God. The Word of God will never fail. You can put all your eggs, you can fetch your water. As a matter of fact, you will fetch water. The water is the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we wash our wives with the water of the word. In other words, the word of God is water. Where we think that water is going to waste, we have the word. Hallelujah. The word of God is real. The word of God is true. Tell your neighbor the word of God in your Bible. You may have your Bible physically, you may have your Bible in your device, your phone, whatever. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 6? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Oh, I love the Word of God. The Word of God can take you from a place of obscurity to a place of significance. Let me say it again. The Word of God can take you from a place of obscurity to a place of significance. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 13. So when God made His promise to Abraham, the promise is the Word of God. We're going to see that where I'm going. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. This is Abraham he was speaking to. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Hallelujah. And after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts all argument to rest. Puts an end to all argument. Just this song comes to my mind. When it says, how did you put it again? It just flew from my mind. But the song says that you are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. Can you sing it one time? You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. Verse 16, it says, people swear by one, someone greater than themselves. And an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled, you and I, who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us, may be greatly encouraged. May be greatly encouraged. Father, we pray. I need you more than any other thing. I need you more than any other thing. So I say, think through my mind and speak through my lips. Reveal to everyone sitting here and everyone that is watching me online this Christ life that you have called us to live, that we may live it to the fullest and bring it glory to your name, in Jesus' name. So I want to say today, I want to teach today on what I titled, the God's Word, the Supreme Authority, God's Word, the Supreme Being. No, Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Do you take God seriously? Answer me, please. Do you take God seriously? Do you take God seriously? Now, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, the way you take God seriously is the way you take the Word seriously, because the Word of God is God. Hallelujah. So the first point I'm trying to make today is this. God's Word takes the character of God. If God can't fail, that means his Word can't fail. If God can't change his mind, or let me put it this way, because if God can't change his purpose, let me put it that way. If God can't change his purpose, his own purpose, then the Word of God can't change his purpose. And the Word of God is meant to reveal the purposes of God. What does God want to do? What does God want to fulfill? What does God want to bring to pass in your life? What does God want to do in your life? He reveals it through his Word. Am I communicating this morning? So God is, his Word is true. His Word is always true. The Bible says that he watches over his Word to perform it. He talked to Jeremiah as a young boy. He told Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will use you. Jeremiah could not have believed that God will use him. Just like you could not believe that God can use you. Jeremiah could not believe that God will use him. He said, I will use you. You will bring down nations. You will build nations. You will tear down. You will plant. You will uproot. This small boy, I can imagine Jeremiah where he was in listening to God. Say, is it me that is going to tear down? Is it me that is going to uproot? Is it me? Because he was a small boy. Hallelujah. Even if they tell you that he's grown up, the same thing. Sometimes you doubt. But God told him something. What do you see? He now showed him something. He showed him an almond tree. Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. God said, you have seen correctly, because I will watch over my Word to fulfill it. Hallelujah. God is a God that watches over his Word. Isaiah chapter 55 says that just as the rain falls down to the earth and does not return without watering the earth and causing it to bud and plant, and you can see that with the rain, even though this year rain has been funny. Praise God. This is what do you call it? climate change. This is climate change. Maybe climate is changing now. Maybe do this cause purpose that climate should change. Hallelujah. So climate change is going to rain not home. But once rain starts falling, if you've been through the Hamatan season and you come into the rainy season, you will see that whilst it's raining season, during the Hamatan season, let me start with, everything gets dry, everything gets failed, plants are dying. But during the rainy season, when the first rain comes, wow, you start seeing things springing up. The rain comes from heaven and falls to the earth and does not return to the heavens without it burdening the earth, causing plants to grow, causing things to flourish. And that is a, God says in Isaiah 5 that just as the rain does that, his word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he sent it out for and prosper in that thing. Hallelujah. Now, I like that scripture a lot, because it didn't just say he's going to accomplish that thing. Accomplishing is what we want. Am I correct? We want an accomplishment. We want things to happen that we would see what we hope for, receive. We receive what we hope for. But it says that God's word will not just come to you without accomplishing it and prospering it. That is exceeding abundantly above. If you trust the word of God, if you hold on to the word of God, which is what we're going to look at today, if you hold on to the word of God, God's word will produce results in your life. God's word will accomplish things and will prosper in that thing. He will make it known to you, and it will come to pass in your life, and it will be so good that you will not want any other thing from what God has said. Because God's word reveals his purpose. I remember when I was in Lagos and I was fasting and praying. I was fasting and praying for my business then. My business was a small business. I wanted it to grow. I wanted it to have some level of visibility and some growth. Because I got a word from God that the mustard seed, it will grow into the garden plant, and the birds of the air will make their home in it. In other words, I said, my business is going to grow. I'm going to employ more people. So I started praying. As I was praying, I heard God tell me, you are going to Enugu to start a church. That was over 10 years ago. You are going to Enugu to start a church. I said, serious? I'm going to Enugu to start a church. What's going to happen to my business? He said, you will leave it. I said, okay, show me in the Bible where you said I was going to start a church in Enugu. I know you don't believe this, but I started reading the Bible. I saw scriptures that God called me. This scripture, it was in Isaiah. Hallelujah. I saw a scripture that God called me. And I looked at that scripture. As I was meditating on that scripture, a memory came to me. I could not remember that event, but a memory came to me where I prayed as a little kid. I said, serious? Before I gave my life to Christ, I was nowhere near prayer. So I don't know what prayer was. But I had to call my mom. Was I religious or going to church or Christian when I was young? My mom said that she used to take me to one woman that used to see visions as a kid. And she said that this boy is going to be a great preacher in the future. I saw it in the Bible. Somebody say, I saw it in the Bible. Say it boldly, I saw it in the Bible. It was the Bible that reminded me of something that made me ask that question. That I'm here today is not coincidence. It's the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what I'm saying to you, I saw it in the Bible. Also, that I should come to Enugu. I saw it in the Bible. So I asked God, everything that you want to show me, everything that you tell me physically or I hear, I want to see it in the Bible. You can see your life in the Bible because you are made of the Bible. This Bible is talking about you. This book is talking about you. It's talking about your life. It's talking about where you are going to, how you are going to turn out. It has both your good and your bad in it. This good, this Bible. So if you ask God to open your eyes, you will see yourself in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So you should not take the word of God lightly if you take God lightly, because God's word takes the character of God. I see a lot in the Bible. I see a lot about my life, about my decisions I make in the Bible. You might think that it's a normal book, but it's not a normal book. It's a prophetic book. Someone says it's a prophetic book. Hallelujah. You're not getting me. Hallelujah. You can look into the scriptures. If you prioritize the scriptures, you will see why. Because God takes the character of his promises. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Hallelujah. So if God has promised you that he will heal you, it means that he has revealed his purpose, that he wants to heal you. Hallelujah. And he will heal you. Because he watches over his word to perform it. If God has promised you that he would give you deliverance, he will bring you deliverance. If God has promised you that he will keep you alive, he will keep you alive. If God has promised you whatever God has promised you, he will do it. But the problem is, can you wait for it? Can you wait for it? Hallelujah. We're going to get there very soon. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. First Peter 1, verse 22. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word, this is the word that was preached to you. In other words, you were born of the word, and the word of God is an imperishable seed. In other words, it doesn't spoil. Don't say anybody, it doesn't spoil. You know they spoil. Hallelujah. If you have left it, you can go back to it. You know they spoil. If you get mangoes, mango will spoil. As a matter of fact, you have to eat it fast. It doesn't spoil. Hallelujah. Because it has the nature of a perishable seed. But the word of God that give birth to you, the word of God that brought you into this life, the word of God that brought you into this life, oh my God, you don't even know the life that you are into. Hallelujah. The word of God that brought you into this life does not spoil. It does not spoil. But can you wait for it patiently? Because the word of God is supreme authority. Without the word, God will not function on the earth. Hallelujah. Without the word, God will not function on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. I just laugh. Hallelujah. The word of God is real. God have mercy. Hallelujah. Do you know I saw that man in this service? That man. I saw him. And I knew he's going to come. Have you come here in a long while? No. Hallelujah. But in prayer, I saw him in the service. Let me tell you, God orders your steps before you even come here. Hallelujah. So, can you wait for what God has said patiently? Can you wait for God has said patiently? Can you wait for what God has said patiently? That's the question. See, you are born of the word. That's what I'm trying to say here. I remember this imperishable seed, a story I've told you here before, but I'll tell it again because it captures it. Gizmo saw the word of God, and he believed his wife, whatsoever two or three of you agree, touching anything you ask the Father, he will do it for you in heaven, on earth. So here, he said, God, we need everything. We need everything. So he held his wife and said, okay, we're going to pray and believe God for things. So they started listing things. They started listing things. And they listed a car. But you know what? They said that God is a big God. How many people believe that God is a big God? God is a big God. Hallelujah. But he doesn't always do things fast. So they set a time. They set a time for God that 3 months is too, 30 days is too, God can do it in 30 days. You know, we do it like that sometimes. God can do it in 1 month is okay. 1 month is okay. So God will do it. After 1 month, we don't see it. And that's what happened to Kitmo. at the 31st day, they looked at it themselves and they went to sleep at 12 midnight. And they woke up the next morning, they didn't talk about it. Just like you don't talk about many things that you have not seen come to pass in your life. Because you, in your mind, you think, maybe God doesn't want it to happen. If God has revealed His word to you, He wants it to happen. He's just showing you His purpose, what He wants to accomplish in your life, what He wants to accomplish through you. Look at this in this scripture. Let me just go here. I'll just be talking. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. He says, when God made promises to Abraham, since there was no greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, God said to Abraham, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. That is a big deal for someone that doesn't have a child. You know what I'm saying? Abraham didn't have a child. Abraham was old. His wife was getting old. When she was young, they were married. They didn't have a child. Is it not that she's old? When she has passed menopause, that she will have a child? When they told, when Sarah, people say that she's a laugh of faith. It was a laugh of unbelief. It was a laugh of unbelief. She overheard God saying that by this time next year, your wife will have a child. And she laughed. I said, is it now that at my old age that I will have the pleasure of my husband? She just laughed. And God didn't rebuke her for laughing. God just, she was laughing at the back. But God knows what happens in the secret place. God knows what happens in the secret place. So God said, why do you laugh, Sarah? And she lied. She said, I didn't laugh. But she laughed. What did God say? But you laughed. But what did she say? She got a point that she now believed God. And then her waiting patiently, poor Isaac. Hallelujah. And today, I told this in the first service, my children were singing, Father Abraham have many sons have Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. Let us praise the Lord, right hand, left hand. She asked me, why do I have to put my right hand and my left hand out? This was just a joke, Now, I told her that this, you have to praise God with all your body, every part of you. You know, some people, it's hard for them to lift their hands up. But the Bible says that the lifting up of our hands is like the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. So it's your benefit that you lift your hands up. Hallelujah. It's your benefit that you lift your hands up. Because God sees it as a sacrifice. That's an aside. Hallelujah. But the key word there is, Abraham has many children. I am one of them and so are you. Hallelujah. Because we are children of Abraham. We are children of Abraham. In Christ Jesus, we are children of Abraham. And somebody's asking this question in their heart. David. Why am I saying I'm David? Hallelujah. Do you know that God gave a promise to David? This is an aside. I just felt like saying it. God gave a promise to David, saying that of your seed, no one will be missing of your seed that sits on the throne. And it was referring to the man called Jesus. That's why they call Jesus the son of David. Hallelujah. So don't think that we are saying David going back to the old times. We're saying David going back to the new times. Hallelujah. Going into the new times. Hallelujah. Not going back. Going into the new times. But let me say something about the word of God. I said we should go to 1 Corinthians chapter, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. It says that when God made promise to Abraham, Abraham had to wait patiently. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. Abraham had to wait patiently. So when God made promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than him to swear by, he swore by himself. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. After waiting patiently. Stay on the Bible. After waiting patiently. After waiting patiently, you receive the promise of God. Abraham received what was promised. Now, I want you to know something, that Abraham's situation was impossible. Abraham's situation was almost impossible. Sarah did not believe that she was going to get a child. Sarah could not believe it. If she was barren when she was young, is it when she is old that she will have a child? Is it when she will be old? But when God says something, that thing must stand. That thing will happen. But can you wait for it patiently? 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 Bible says that Abraham, after waiting patiently, he received what was promised. The thing about most of us, we get promises from God. But patiently, we can't wait. We give up too soon. When God is saying that, see, I want to do something through you. I want to bring you healing. I want to bring you salvation. I want to bring you deliverance. But whether we set time for God, consciously or unconsciously, we set time for God. Or we don't set time for God and we set time for God consciously and put it this way. And time comes and you give up. So this thing, God knows. I have a testimony of a girl. She's in Canada. This girl got married before me. He got married way before me. Way before me. She got married when we were still in school. Hallelujah. She didn't have a child. Me, I got married though. She got married way before me. She didn't have a child. And after some years, I think you know her, Ziggy. You know her. After some years, she had a son. When I say yes, I'm not saying 5 years though. Me, I waited for 5 years. I'm not saying 5 years. I'm not saying 3 years. I'm not saying long years. Long years. Tell your neighbor long years. But she had a child. And we're having a testimony. And I told her. And I asked her a question. Because I had a prayer meeting. Online prayer meeting. And I asked her a question. See. You waited though. You really waited. Because I can't wait that long. I told myself, I can't wait that long. She said that it's not like that she will consider it waiting. Hallelujah. The grace of God has a way of working in you. It's not that I will consider it waiting. But I had to block my mind from what people were saying. What people thought. What I thought people thought. First of all, what people are saying is one thing. What you think people are saying is another thing. And both of them have power over you. Hallelujah. So she has to block her mind on what people are saying and what she thinks that people are saying. And she trusted God. At a point in time, she even got tired that she did not trust, as in, she knew actively by faith so that she will have a child. But in her mind, she will have a child when God wills. God will. Hallelujah. And after the many years, she got a child. I'll tell you my testimony. She got a child. In faithfulness of God, God is faithful. After waiting patiently, I'm going to talk about what waiting is. After waiting patiently, she received a promise. Me, after waiting patiently, I got my first child. Hallelujah. I'll just stop there. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a God that is faithful to his promises. Tell your neighbor, he's faithful to his promises. If God has promised you something, he will do that thing. He will do that thing. But can you wait for him patiently? Can you wait for him patiently? You know, when we say wait in our parlance, we think of it just like we go to the office of somebody, the person says, wait for me. So you just sit down and be waiting for the person. I have an experience where the person says, wait for me, but the person was not doing anything serious. Just wanted to keep me waiting. So you waited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. The person waited, I waited. I traveled though. I waited. The person said, I cannot see you again. I think it was a test. Both from God and from the person. I get what I'm saying? It was a test, both from God and from the person. So I waited and I waited. So when we say wait, we think about it like that. But with God is different too. Tell your neighbor, with God is different.
Let me read Isaiah 66:26 for you. Hallelujah. Verse 8 or verse 7. I read it in the first service. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Just like Abraham received what was promised, you will receive what God promised you. You will get what God promised you. It's not always that he does instant miracles. Sometimes you wait for it patiently. Even though it seems impossible, if God has promised it, you will get it. You will have what he promised. You will get what he promised. But waiting for him is a... He has a definition in the Bible. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26. I think verse 7 or verse 8. Verse 8. Hallelujah. He says, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your law, we wait for you. In other words, how do you wait for God? How do you wait for God? By walking in the way of the law. Of his law. Walking in the way of the Lord, we wait for you. In the same way we are waiting for him, his name and his renown are the desires of our heart. What do I mean by that? His name is not about you. It's about God. God fulfilling what he has said. What did Abraham believe? What was Abraham's faith? Abraham believed that God was able to do what God has said. Not what he has said, though. Hallelujah. What God has said, God was able to do it. So can you wait for God like Abraham? Walking in the way of the law, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desires of our hearts. So walking in the way of the law, wait for you. What does it mean to walk in the way of the law? So we can learn from the Bible, from the life of Abraham. We can learn from the life of Abraham. How did he wait for God? How did he wait patiently? Now when he says wait patiently, hallelujah. Let me say this. I just feel like saying this in this service. When the Bible says wait patiently or endure patiently, it doesn't mean debe kaine debe. In other words, you are sad and you are waiting. God day. The Bible says endurance in the translation, if you got it in the literal translation, it was written in Greek. The word you translated to endurance is cheerful. Come on, say cheerful. Someone say cheerful. How many people will lose their cheerfulness when they are waiting for God? In other words, you lose your joy when you are waiting for God. Oh, hallelujah. I can tell you this, when you are waiting for God, pray and tell God to fill you with joy. To fill you with joy so you can be rejoicing while you are waiting for him. Hallelujah. But let's learn from Abraham. What are the things that Abraham did when he was waiting for God? What are the things that Abraham did when he was waiting for God? He walked before God and he was perfect. God told him, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be that perfect. What does that mean? When you are waiting for God, whatever God commits into your hands, do it in the sight of God. God sees everything by whether you do it in the sight or not. Whether you think you are hiding from him. He sees it. He will not answer you, but he sees it. But it's better you do it in knowing that you are in the sight of God. Will God approve of what I'm doing while I'm waiting for him? Will God approve of my actions? Will God approve of how I treat my customers? Will God approve of how I treat my bosses? Will God approve on how I treat all the people around me in my business? Will God approve of the way I conduct my business? Will God approve the way of where I conduct my job, my career? Will God approve where I behave? Will God approve it? He had to walk before God and be perfect in waiting for God. Tell your neighbor, walk before God and be perfect. In other words, there is a perfection that God is looking at. See, God is more important, is more particular about your character than he is about what he's going to do for you. I don't know if you heard me. God is more concerned about your character than what he's going to do in fulfillment of his word. He can do things easily, but can he change your character easily? No. No. You have to change your character. So Abraham walked before God and was perfect. That's number one way he waited for God. That's number one way he waited for God. Number two, why are you waiting for God? It's not debate, kind of debate. It is that you are walking before God and be perfect. Everything you are doing in the sight of God. Everything you are doing in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And it's not that God is a God that wants to... Hallelujah. It's not like God is a God that is just checking your T's and dotting your I's. He's crossing your T's and dotting your I's. No, he's not that kind of God. He's a God of mercy. Somebody say he's a God of mercy. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants to show you mercy. The Bible says he delights to show mercy. But he checks how you treat people. Are you merciful towards people? Then God will be merciful to you. The Bible says, to the merciful, I show myself merciful. Hallelujah. To the merciful, I show myself merciful. Merciful. How do you treat people? Number one, he walked before God and was perfect. Number two, he walked by faith. He believed what he heard. He walked by faith. It's one thing to walk before God. God told some people that the way they walk is good, but they've lost one thing. They've forgotten their first love. Hallelujah. You can be doing things to please God, but you're not walking by faith. That what God has said he will do. Do you believe what God has said he will do? Do you believe it? Is that what controls your life? Is that what controls your life? What God has said? Is that what the decisions that you make? Are they the things that fuel your life? What God has said? He had to have faith. I was going to say that the word of God, I didn't have, I know a couple of time. I need to just say it briefly. In the Bible that you have, there are four things that we call the word of God. Number one are the commandments of God. Well, let me go back to my notes. Number one are the instructions. So there are instructions that he has given you. An example is in Judges chapter, I think Judges chapter 13. You can see that in 4 and 7. God told this girl, this woman, Moa, I don't know her name fully, very well, but you can see that in Judges chapter 13. Samson's mother. God told her that she's going to have a child, but she shouldn't drink. He gave her some instructions. And he gave Abraham some instructions. He gave Abraham some instructions that she shouldn't drink certain hard drinks. She shouldn't drink. Some people, God gives instructions. And you can find it in the scriptures. Number two, he gives commandments. 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 If you don't do it, you are offending God. The instructions are for you. You will not see the hand of God if you don't follow instructions. But you are offending God if you don't follow his commandments. Let me give you an example of his commandment. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. It's a commandment. Husbands, love your wife. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. Husbands, love your wife. If you are not doing it, you are offending God. Am I communicating? Number three, it's a commandment. Number three is principles. 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 There are principles that govern life. God is in God's word. You have it in God's word. There are principles that govern life. If you follow the principles in the Bible, you will succeed. Hallelujah. The principles, for instance, in the Bible, it says that there is one in Proverbs. I don't know why I didn't check the Proverbs. But if you know the Proverbs, please tell me. Hallelujah. In Proverbs, it says, there is one that is generous, gives, and comes to riches. But there is one that withholds more than what is due and comes to poverty. Hallelujah. Who knows that proverb? Who knows that proverb? Somebody should deliver me here. Help me. Help me. We'll read the Old Testament. Just like we're reading the New Testament, now we'll read the Old Testament. Praise God. Okay, we'll read the Old Testament. We'll read the Old Testament too. After this New Testament, we'll read the Old Testament. But what I'm saying is in the Old Testament. It's in Proverbs. Hey God, if I think deep, if I think fast, I will get it. But there's one that withholds what is due. Proverbs 13. Somebody has Googled it. Yeah, you see what we do is to Google it. Proverbs what? Proverbs 11:24. There's one that gives liberally but gets to riches. And there is one that withholds more than what is required and it gets to poverty. That is a principle. You can choose to live by that principle or you can choose not to live by that principle. The principle will work in Nigeria, that principle will work abroad. Hallelujah. So, and in the Bible also, we have promises. We're dealing with promises today. Promises. God made a promise to Abraham, you will have children. When he did not have any sign of children, when he did not have any plan to have children, when he didn't have any, even Abraham said that, if only you can fulfill that promise of many children through Ishmael. How did he get Ishmael? He got Ishmael through Sarah's failures. Pharaoh forced him, and he listened to Sarah, and he slept with his servant girl, and they gave birth to Ishmael. He said, God, this one that you've been promising since, you've not fulfilled it. Let this blessing rest with Ishmael. No problem. He said, no, I will bless Ishmael. That's what God said. I will bless Ishmael. I will bless Ishmael. But the one that you will fulfill what I have in mind, one that will fulfill my promise, is not going to be born by a slave girl. It's going to be born by a real wife. And Abraham believed God. So number one, he walked before God and it was perfect. Number two, he had faith. Number three, he followed instructions. When God spoke to him, he was going to have a child. He said, God, you're going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. I'm going to change your wife's name. Changing your name is okay, but changing your wife's name is hard. From Sarai to Sarah. You are going to circumcise every male in your house from 8 months of 8 days up. Hallelujah. In other words, all the men in his house, the Bible says he circumcised, including himself, including Ishmael. Imagine what it took for Abraham to follow that instruction. At old age, he's cutting away his foreskin. Imagine, but he followed that instruction. He followed that instruction. Imagine what it took for Abraham to change his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah. If I change my wife's name, if God tells me to change my wife's name, if I call her, she will not even recognize her name. For instance, God says, your wife's name is Sarah. And I say, Sarah, please get me some water. She'll be wondering what is wrong with her husband. That's what Abraham was facing. His wife was going to have a different name. But immediately, he followed that instruction. He followed that instruction. In the Bible, there are instructions. You can follow the instructions. God gives us instructions. You can follow the instructions. And when you follow the instructions, you are waiting for him. Hallelujah. So wait for him by, one, by walking before God and being perfect. Number two, by faith. Number three, by following his instructions. His instructions are critical for you receiving what he has promised. So Abraham followed the instructions. God said circumcise, he circumcised. God said change your name, he changed his name. Hallelujah. Then number three, he performed sacrifices. He performed sacrifices. This is how we wait for God. What are you doing? Do it before God. Do it before God. What are you doing? Do it before God. How is God checking your work? How is God checking your business? How is God checking your what you are doing? Do it before God. Number two, you do it, you walk by faith. You believe God for what he has promised. You believe God for what he has promised. Part of Abraham changing his name was him expressing his faith. Abraham means father of many nations. Sarah means what? Mother of something. But she was not a mother. I don't know. But at that point, she was not a mother. But she was answering mother. Hallelujah. So that was faith. She expressed faith. Number three. I bet number three I said. Which number did I say?
follow God's instructions. Number three, follow God's instructions. Number four, perform sacrifices. Abraham, as a matter of fact, I would have changed it to number two, but I just felt like putting it number one, number four. Because it's in the sacrifices that you perform that you receive instructions on what to do. It's in the sacrifice that you perform that you receive instructions on what to do. So when you are following God's instructions, when you are performing sacrifices, you get the instructions and you follow it. How do I know that Abraham performs sacrifices? No, Abraham built altars, but that's an aside. But God told Abraham, kill some animals, cut them into two, place them. Then, one scattered animal, don't cut that one into two, keep that one safe. And then, chase away all the, you can imagine that, that's sacrificial. Hallelujah. When I should be rested, when I should be watching TV, I'm watching the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm praying. Hallelujah. When I should be watching movies, I'm praying. When I should be sleeping, I'm praying. That is sacrificial. As a matter of fact, there are New Testament sacrifices. Right now, I've counted four of them. I'm teaching them in Stronger. So if you want to learn them, you can learn them in Stronger. I just started last Wednesday, I taught on the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. So offering sacrifices. Abraham offered sacrifices. Abraham was offering that sacrifice and he slept. He had a dream and that's where he got a revelation. Hallelujah. In that dream, when he was offering sacrifices, he got insights from God. Hallelujah. He got the revelation that his children would be slaves. Oh, hallelujah. This is a man that didn't have any child. But he got 400 years into the future. What will happen? Hallelujah. But what does that mean? If my children are going to be slaves, that means I'm going to have children. If my children are going to be slaves, that means that I'm barren now. Doesn't mean anything because I've seen my children in the future. Hallelujah. So he believed God and he performed sacrifices. So there are four things you do when you wait for him. Follow, walking in the way of his law, we wait for you. You don't do it sadly, you really do rejoicing. That's an aside. You have faith that God has done it. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, I'll say it in this way. Hallelujah. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Tell your neighbor, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. See, God is more willing. He's more willing than you to make his will come to pass. His purpose. Remember, his promises reveal his word. I didn't know if you saw it in Hebrews chapter 6. His promises reveal his purpose. His promises reveal his purpose. And God's purpose, we read it in the psalm we read today. God's purpose never fails. I don't think she read the psalm that she when the ended, she was confused. She didn't know where it ended. So she was confused. But I've read that psalm before. But God's promises, God's purpose is never changed. The purpose of man, the plans of man can fail. But the purposes of God, the plans of God can never fail. And he reveals it in his promises. So if God has promised you something, don't give up on God. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. God wants to do it. God wants to do it. God wants to help you. God wants to do it. But wait for him patiently. Wait for him patiently. I'll end with this scripture. See, Hebrews chapter 6. I know I read it before, but I'll read it again. Hallelujah. So somebody will get it. Hebrews chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I read 13 and 14. So when God made his promise to Abraham, and since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Sorry, I made a mistake. Verse 15. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. After waiting patiently, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. If God said that you will preach to nations, don't give up on God. Don't give up on Him. What He said He will do. If God said He will heal you, don't give up on God. What He said He will do. Don't give up on God. If God has promised you that you will be in a certain place, don't give up on Him. He will bring it to pass. He is able to bring it to pass. He watches over His word to fulfill it. God will not give up on you. So don't give up on Him. Tell your neighbor, don't give up on God. Hallelujah. Can you just pray this morning? Just talk to God. Say, God, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I won't give up on you. No matter what happens, I won't give up on you. No matter what happens, I won't give up on you. No matter what happens, I won't give up on you.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.